special report.
A special report on Spain.
The Catalan question. In two minds. A would-be nation divided.
Vic, a prosperous town of 43,000 people about 90 minutes north of Barcelona, is sometimes called the capital of Catalan Catalonia. Almost every building in its medieval town square has a banner calling for democracy and the release of the detained separatist leaders. They think that with prison and repression they will make us disappear, says Anna Herrera, the mayor, who is from Mr. Puigdemont's Catalan Democratic Party, or PDeCAT. With this, they make the breach bigger. It is hard to find a sign in Vic that is not in Catalan. When speaking Spanish, Ms. Herrera, a teacher, sometimes searches for words. At the other end of the railway line is L'Hospitalet, Catalonia's second most populous municipality, wedged between Barcelona and its airport. It was long a densely packed dormitory for factory workers who had migrated from the rest of Spain. Now it also has an ultra-modern quarter of gleaming offices and hotels, along with Barcelona's new trade fair, host to the Mobile World Congress. The new municipal library, housed in a former textile factory, has an exhibition of Andalusian mantillas. As elsewhere in Catalonia, children are taught in Catalan, but here they speak Castilian or Spanish in the playground and at home. "We won't forget the contempt the separatists showed for those who disagree with them," says Núria Marín, L'Hospitalet's socialist mayor. "Levels of trust have fallen a lot." Today, there are two Catalonias that increasingly do not talk or listen to each other. When Mr. Rajoy, then Spain's Prime Minister, imposed Article 155 in October last year, with the support of the socialists and Ciudadanos, he dissolved the Catalan Parliament and called a regional election, which was held in December. That merely confirmed the battle lines. The three separatist parties won 48% of the vote and retained a narrow majority in Parliament. Ciudadanos, the most combative anti-separatist voice, emerged as the single biggest force, with 25% of the vote. "Society is split in two," says Inés Arrimadas, the leader of Ciudadanos in Catalonia. Mr. Puigdemont's claim to represent a single people is hollow. The separatists are right in saying that the drive for independence has been broadly peaceful, but there is an undertone of intimidation and intolerance. Ms. Arrimadas has been declared persona non grata in several towns, and her party's offices suffer constant vandalism. In June, separatist demonstrators broke up an academic conference on Cervantes at Barcelona University. Many on both sides worry that it will be hard to restore social harmony, and they disagree on how to set about it. Supporters of independence list a jumble of grievances, ranging from claims that Spain robs us and does not invest in infrastructure in Catalonia, to the Spanish courts knocking down Catalan laws. Such instrumental arguments are potentially negotiable, but there is an emotional separation too. "At bottom, they, other Spaniards, don't like us," says Ms. Herrera. That has become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Many Spaniards now see the separatists as bent on breaking up their country and on using their control over education and the public media in Catalonia for indoctrination. This is a dispute between political elites over power and money, not a clash between ethnic communities, says José Álvarez Junco, a historian of nationalism at Madrid's Complutense University. Nevertheless, many of the Catalan separatist leaders talk the language of identity. In some cases, that borders on racism. Take Quim Torra, Mr. Puigdemont's nominee and replacement as president of the Generalitat. In 2012, he wrote, "It's not natural to speak Spanish in Catalonia. and when someone decides not to speak in Catalan, they are turning their back on Catalonia. He went on to describe Spaniards as wild beasts in human form. He recently apologised. Others put it less tempestuously. We are a people who have a language, a history, a culture, says Ms. Era. We are already a nation. In cultural terms, that is true, but like Spain itself, Catalonia has a plurinational culture, and its history is contested. Unlike Scotland, Catalonia was never an independent nation-state. Its origins lie in the county of Barcelona, a Frankish principality established as part of the Carolingian Empire during the reconquest of Spain from Muslim rule. In 1137, it was merged by dynastic marriage into the Kingdom of Aragon, and in 1479, under Ferdinand and Isabella, into Habsburg Spain. The separatists make much of the War of Spanish Succession, when the victorious Bourbon monarch, Philip V, conquered Barcelona after a gruelling siege and abolished Aragon's feudal constitutions. But in the war, Catalonia was divided between the Austrian and French side. In due course, it would thrive as an integral part of Bourbon Spain. The contemporary idea of the Catalan nation was born in the 19th century, when nationalism and popular sovereignty emerged as organising principles in Europe. The Spanish state, having lost most of its empire and been invaded by Napoleon, was weak and penniless. A weak state can't eliminate local differences, Mr. Alvarez Junco points out. There were few schools to impose linguistic uniformity or inculcate the idea of the Spanish nation. Geography added to the difficulty of nation-building. After Switzerland, Spain is Western Europe's most mountainous country. Madrid was a court more than a capital, surrounded by the barren tablelands of Castile. The economically dynamic and industrialising regions in the 19th century, especially Catalonia and the Basque Country, were on the coast. It was that industrial bourgeoisie which created Catalan nationalism. It wanted trade protection from Madrid, but was also influenced by German Romanticism, especially the ideas of Johann Gottfried Herder, who believed that a nation was an organic essence, defined by language rather than a cultural and political construct, as theorists today think. Artur Mas, Mr. Puigdemont's predecessor, defined Catalans as more Germanic than Roman, despite their abundant Roman ruins. From the mid-19th century, as migrants began to flood in from southern Spain to work in Catalonia's factories, a cultural renaissance rescued the Catalan language from slow decline and promoted Catalan history and culture. In the early 20th century, that movement turned into a political demand for home rule, which was achieved briefly from the early 1930s, but snuffed out by Franco, who barred the public use of Catalan. The Basque Country went through a similar process. Spain has found it almost impossible to strike the right balance between unity and diversity. Historically, the pendulum has swung back and forth. The 1978 Constitution came down firmly on the side of recognising diversity. It created 19 autonomous communities, which included both historic nationalities, the Basque Country, Catalonia and Galicia, and newly created regions elsewhere. Today, Spain is the most decentralised country in Europe. The regions are responsible for education, health, much economic regulation, and even a good chunk of overseas aid, and have their own television and radio stations. Catalonia and the Basque Country have their own police forces, and Catalonia runs its own prisons. The regions have the power to vary the rates of income, wealth, and inheritance taxes. In most cases, the central government collects taxes on their behalf. but the Basque Country and Navarre do their own tax collecting under an arrangement dating back to the 19th century. Many economists believe they hand over too little revenue to the central government. The Catalan government insists on all teaching in state schools being in Catalan, with Spanish taught as a foreign language, which some parents find vexing. A ruling by the Supreme Court in 2015 that at least 25% of teaching should be in Spanish has been ignored. The history taught in Catalan schools has a nationalist tinge. Catalans voted overwhelmingly for the new Spanish constitution 40 years ago. Basques did not, though mainly because of political competition between the terrorist separatists of ETA and moderate nationalists. Catalans and Basques might have felt happier if they alone had been granted self-government, but Spain has or has developed other strong regional identities. Andalusia, for example, insisted on being treated much the same as Catalonia during the transition to democracy. In half a dozen regions, Castilian Spanish is not the only language. Decentralisation has had its successes, helping to reduce regional inequalities, but over time, the fudges in the constitution's provisions for what Spaniards call the territorial model have come back to haunt the country. The decentralisation process was left open-ended, and the distribution of powers is ambiguous, partly because the regional governments were set up after the constitution was introduced, except for the Generalitat in Catalonia. This has led to constant wrangles at the constitutional tribunal. The PP, Ciudadanos, and many voters now think that decentralisation has gone far enough, or even too far. To make things worse, the system for financing regional governments is opaque and widely seen as unfair. When Spain still had a predominantly two-party system, the Basque and Catalan nationalists were able to exert leverage over minority governments in Madrid, always extracting more powers or money for their votes. Jordi Pujol, Catalonia's nationalist president from 1980 to 2003, was a master of this. He rejected offers to join Spanish governments, preferring to build a nation at home. He wanted to sharpen the constitution's fudged distinction between nationalities and regions. But the PP governments of 1996 to 2004 lent in the opposite direction. Their investment in a radial network of high-speed trains and motorways was seen in Catalonia as favouring Madrid. Still, support for independence in Catalonia ran at only around 15% until 2006, when a centre-left government in Barcelona tried to reform Catalonia's statute of autonomy. The reform was approved by the Catalan and national parliaments and by Catalans in a referendum, in which only 49% voted. But in 2010, the Constitutional Tribunal knocked out several of the key changes as incompatible with the constitution, including those that indirectly recognised Catalonia as a nation and granted it control over the courts. That exposed a flaw in the constitution, which failed to stipulate that any proposition put to referendum must first command agreement that it is constitutional. In Catalonia, the ruling was seen as a victory for Spanish nationalism. The desire for independence was magnified by the economic crisis. Protesters took to the streets of Barcelona to demonstrate against austerity, for which the Catalan government blamed Madrid. Critics also point to a scandal over illegal commissions on public contracts in Catalonia, claiming that the drive for independence was a way of distracting attention from this. The Basque Country offers a variation on the Catalan theme. ETA's terrorism stripped Basque calls for independence of all democratic legitimacy. After a request for a referendum on Basque self-determination was rejected in the Spanish Parliament in 2005, the hard-headed Basque National Party, or PNV, has devoted itself to achieving the best possible economic deal. It starts from a strong position, because the Basque country has fiscal autonomy. The PNV's current leadership is realistic. The Basque national cause is not incompatible with Spain, says Andoni Ortuza, the party's president. A nation doesn't have to have a state, not in Europe today. Nevertheless, some in Spain are suspicious of the PNV's long-term intentions. In Catalonia, the nationalist camp is now split between maximalists, led by Mr. Puigdemont, and a more moderate group of realists who think they should bank their gains. History has speeded up, says Juan Tarda, a congressman in Madrid for Esquerra Republicana, the PDCAT's coalition partner. We've never come so far, nor been so many. But to win independence, we need there to be more of us. After months in which Mr. Puigdemont insisted on naming people who were in prison as potential Catalan presidents, Esquerra eventually got him to agree to the formation of an effective government in Barcelona in May under Mr. Torra. The maximalists want to fulfil the mandate of October 1st and build the republic, as Mr. Torra put it. Whether that will involve further defiance of the constitution is unclear. It will certainly focus on the battle for European public opinion. There, the separatists have recently suffered setbacks. Mr. Torra and his past statements highlight that Catalan nationalism has always contained an ugly, identitarian right wing, as well as progressive moderates. Second, whereas Mr. Rajoy was a toxic figure in Catalonia, Mr. Sanchez, Spain's new prime minister, speaks soothingly of dialogue and détente. They would be good for both Catalonia and Spain, not least because the Catalan crisis has diverted energy from other urgent problems.